This is Pastor Mike Hoggard coming to you from Watchman Studios with another Watchman video broadcast. Still dealing with Manasseh, still dealing with the things that he did. This is part of our capstone series, far, far removed from when we first began what was called the Secret of the Seal. We just started looking at the symbols that are stamped on America. Long time ago in this country, those symbols didn't really have much importance. But today, I think they are a symbol of things that are shaping up in this country and even around the world. And America just always, as usual, just seems to be leading the charge in everything. What am I talking about? Take a look at the reverse side of the Great Seal of the United States of America. You see the unfinished pyramid. When you think of a building unfinished, think of Genesis chapter 11, the Tower of Babel. That's a little piece of what that represents. It's incomplete. It doesn't have something. When you look, it's kind of like a song that goes, and the home of the... Some of you with OCD are just going, would you finish the song? Okay? It's unfinished. It just needs something to make it be done. Brave. There you go. Now some of you can go, oh, I'm glad he did that. So the capstone put on top of the unfinished pyramid with that eye in there. They say it's the all-seeing eye of providence, the all-seeing eye of God. No, I don't think so. Okay? This is the Antichrist, is what this symbol represents. Anno Equiptus, Novus Ordo Seclorum. He favors the undertaking or birth of a Novus Ordo Seclorum, a new world order. That is coming about right now. The pyramid is being built, awaiting the coming of the Antichrist to make it complete. You could look at this as sort of being an image of the temple of the Antichrist itself. And as I get into explaining this, when we get to the end of this, I'm going to spend a lot of time dealing with that capstone and dealing with this pyramid, and I'm going to show you from the Bible why I think this is a picture of the temple of the Antichrist, the body of the Antichrist. Remember, the body is the temple. Think about it, okay? We're going to look at that. But anyway, let's go to our source text, 2 Chronicles chapter 33, verses 1 through 7. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem, but did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abomination to the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. That's very important. We're going to see that here in a little bit. For he built again the high places which Hezekiah his father had broken down, and he reared up altars for Balaam, and made groves, and worshipped all the host of heaven, and served them. And he also built altars in the house of the Lord, whereof the Lord had said, in Jerusalem shall my name be forever. And he built altars for all the host of heaven in the two courts of the house of the Lord. And he caused his children to pass through the fire in the valley of the son of Hinnom. Also he observed times, and used enchantments, and used witchcraft, and dealt with a familiar spirit, and with wizards. He wrought much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made in the house of God, of which God had said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen before all the tribes of Israel, will I put my name forever. And we broke this down. I remember seeing this several years ago, and it just wasn't until recently that God laid it on my heart to present this, idea. Because when I see it, a list like that in the Bible, I count things in the Bible. I count the list. Get a lot of wisdom from that. Revelation 16:18. Here's wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Solomon said he searched out wisdom. This have I found, saith the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account. So I counted this. And I knew the story, the background of Isis, Horus, Isis and Osiris. Horus was her son. What happened to Osiris? Seth hated him, cut him in pieces, and scattered his pieces all over the earth. Isis wants to regenerate Osiris. He's the dead god that's in pieces everywhere, and so Isis wants, like Humpty Dumpty, wants to put him all back together again so he can live. He was cut up in 14 pieces. Dun, dun, dun. Okay? So we have 14 things here. And the 13 things that precede the 14th thing set up the 14th thing. Let me show you. For he built again the high places, number one, he reared up altars for Balaam, made groves, worshipped all the host of heaven, number four, number five, and served them. Number six, he built altars in the house of the Lord. Number seven, he built altars for all the host of heaven. Number eight, he caused his children to pass through the fire. Number nine, he observed times. Number 10, he used enchantments. That's what we just finished with. Number 11, and used witchcraft. Number 12, dealt with familiar spirit. Number 13, and with wizards. And then, number 14, here it is right here. And he set a carved image, the idol which he had made, in the house of God. So he does 13 things here. 13 religious practices. All of these have to do with religion. Something very important to remember here, that which we read here in the verses. He revived these religious practices from the time when the Canaanites and the Perizzites and the Hittites and all the tick bites and flea bites and all the bites lived. You can read the full list in Deuteronomy chapter 7. God said, seven nations stronger and mightier than thou had already lived in this nation, and God told them then, when they go into that land, do not learn their religion. Do not learn their practices. I want you to break down their idols, tear down their temples, burn all their stuff, get rid of it. Don't learn what they did. So Israel went in there and they learned what they did. They took their religion and tried at times to merge it in with worshiping Jehovah. It didn't quite work out because God still is this really jealous God. And he doesn't like sitting on the throne with a bunch of other gods trying to crowd in next to him. He doesn't like that. And he won't put up with it. So here is Manasseh reviving these practices. That's very important. And what we're seeing today, the reason why I'm going through this line by line, piece by piece, layer by layer, because let me show you this stone here. This pyramid made of stones, 13 rows of stones on this thing. 72 stones altogether. That's coming. The 14th part was the capstone, the eye. The Great Pyramid in Giza to this day remains unfinished. It's unclear whether it originally had a capstone on it and it's been stolen, or it was built and never had a capstone put on it. I think one of these days, either symbolically or realistically or whatever, that capstone is going to make an appearance. And that, I think, represents the Antichrist. And so Manasseh revives these 13 evil practices. Think of that number. Revelation chapter 13 is where the beast shows up. Deuteronomy 13 is where God warns about a false prophet. Acts chapter 13 is where a false prophet shows up by the name of Bar-Jesus, and Paul rebukes him and he says he is all about perverting the words of God. He will cease not to pervert the right ways of God. And he calls him, thou child of the devil. Think about that. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth, 13 words. Okay, so there's a connection. Here he revives 13 evil forbidden practices. We're going to see that in the law. And he does that. And when he does that, I think a spirit enters into him and he goes now a step beyond anybody else before him. He takes and carves an image, or he orders a carved image done, and he takes that image and puts it in the most holy place of the temple of God. Cue the music. Dun, dun, dun. Because if we look then in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 4, we see the Antichrist who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worship, so that he is God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Manasseh is acting out a prophetic type. He is a foreshadowing of things to come. And I think these things are written, the way Paul said in 1 Corinthians 10, they are written for our admonition and our learning unto whom the ends of the world are come. So we look at this story, we see it both as historic, and then Solomon says, that which was is that which shall be. There's no new thing under the sun. This thing is going to come back around again. It's going to make that cycle of history, cycle of time. Let me throw this in. Have you ever noticed that everything that measures time is a circle? The moon, it's where we get months from. The sun, it's where we get days from. It goes, it travels in a circle, and it looks like a circle. Okay? And the movement of the stars in the sky every night, circling the earth along with the circuit of the sun, gives us the years. Our watches are circles. Time is a circle. That which was, think Manasseh, 13 religious practices that he revived. Coming back around again, only this time it's going to be the perfect picture of what God is trying to reveal to us. The Antichrist is coming. These practices are what brings him in. And so we got to the part we dealt with. He used enchanters or enchantments. That was a four-part series. Now we're going to look at, we're going to skip witches, and we're going to go to familiar spirits. Now, after familiar spirits, my plan is to put witches and wizards together because they seem to be one and the same. They practice the same religion, all right? So we're going to look at this idea of familiar spirits and what they are. Let's look then at the law. The law of God is very clear about what God said to do and what God said not to do. Again, Deuteronomy chapter 7. God says when you go in there and you see their religious practices, don't do it. Don't learn their ways. Tear down their temples. Burn everything. Break everything that you see. I want it clean. Go in there. And the Israelites did exactly what God told them not to do. So they learned it. Manasseh revives it in his time. Those things are being revived in the day that you and I live in. But they clearly are forbidden in the scriptures and still to this day are forbidden. Let me give you this example. All right. I've got two books up here. This is my King James Bible. This is the first Bible that my mother bought me. December 25th, 1981. It's not the first one she bought me, but after I surrendered to the call of the ministry, the call to preach the gospel, my mother bought me this Bible, and I love it. It's my prized possession. I still have it. It's got pieces coming out of it, okay, kind of like me, but it is the Word of God. Two Testaments, Old Testament, New Testament. It is, number one, it is Jesus and it is the Spirit. Jesus said, the words I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. All scripture is given by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. So when you have the Bible, when you have the Word of God, pure, error-free, correct in everything that it says and every word of God being pure, when you have that, you have the presence of the Holy Spirit of God. So, here is the Holy Spirit. Some people don't believe that. I can't help it. Here is the Holy Spirit of God. Here's another book that I have called Another Testament of Jesus Christ. The Book of Mormon. Okay? The Book of Mormon, Another Testament of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem. At the end of this book, Revelation chapter 22, Jesus said, anybody who adds to the words of this book, I will add unto him the plagues that are written therein. Joe Smith is plagued right now for all of eternity. He's in hell. He will be judged, cast into the lake of fire, because he added to the word of God. So, Joe Smith said, and Joe Smith had a familiar spirit. And I want you to think of it in that context. The Spirit of our God, the Holy Spirit, not only inspires His Word, but He inspires us when we read it. We read the God-breathed words that are in this book, and it gives us inspiration in our lives, leadership, guidance. Thy Word is a lamp unto my feet. Think about the lamp that was in the tabernacle, the seven lamps. They are the seven spirits of God, the Word of God. Same thing, all right? So this leads us. This is the Spirit of God, and it leads us. Joe Smith had a familiar spirit, a different spirit, a false spirit, a lying spirit. His spirit told him, it was an angel named Moron I. That's what he called him, Moron. Hey, Moron I. So here's the angel Moron I, and he shows up to Joe Smith, tells him about these golden plates that are buried at, New York, upstate New York. And so the story goes, he goes and digs them up, He finds them written in what they called revised cuneiform, Egyptian cuneiform or hieroglyphics. So he's looking at it and he doesn't know the secret codes and symbols. And so God gives him a special pair of magic glasses called the Urim and the Thummim. And he got stole that from the Old Testament. And he puts those glasses on and now he can read the revised hieroglyphics that are on there. And he, all alone, by himself, with magic glasses that no one's ever seen, from golden plates that no one has ever laid their eyes on, translated a book called the Book of Mormon. Okay? And millions of people all over the world believe that this is an addition to the Word of God. They are following the lying of a familiar spirit. So keep that in mind. There is a reason why when God laid down these laws, he said, I don't want to find any of you doing witchcraft. If you do, we're going to take you out and stone you. I don't want anybody dealing with wizards. I don't want anybody doing necromancy, which is speaking to the dead, trying to get ideas from the dead. And he said, I don't want to see anybody consulting with familiar spirit. If you do, these are an abomination to me. When God gave those commandments, he's not just trying to go, whap, sit down and be quiet. Why? Because I said so. He has a reason for it. He has a purpose in it. God knows that familiar spirits, they just can't help but lie. That's what they do. And when they say things to people, it may sound good. Half of it may sound true. But it's all wrapped up in lies. And God says, don't let these people in your mind. Don't let them in your camp. Don't let them come in your church. Don't go to their rock concerts. Don't watch their movies. Don't listen to their TV show. Don't stay away from them because they're going to lie to you and you're going to believe it. God was watching out for his people as a shepherd is supposed to. If a thief, Jesus taught us this, if a thief comes in some other way trying to get into the sheepfold, the shepherd's going to have at him. He's going to take that rod and his staff. He's going to comfort a sheep and he's going to kill that wolf. Because he knows he's in there to steal and to kill those sheep. So that's the nature of a familiar spirit and what they're for. And so let's read the law. So now we're going to use these two examples here. This is a familiar spirit. This is the Holy Spirit. Keep that in mind as we look through this. Leviticus 19:31. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, neither seek after wizards to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Leviticus 20 verse 6. The soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, Joe Smith, and after wizards, Harry Potter, to go a-whoring after them, I will even set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. And then in verse 27, a man also or woman that hath a familiar spirit, or that is a wizard, shall surely be put to death. They shall stone them with stones, and their blood shall be upon them. Wow. That's more punishment than you'll get for jaywalking or speeding or, my goodness, even selling drugs. You get it easier than if you, according to the law, you go after familiar spirits. Look at the language that he said here. Regard not them that have familiar spirits. He said, don't listen to them. Don't listen to Joseph Smith. Don't listen to the Church of Jesus Christ of the Latter-day Saints. Don't listen to that nonsense. They got their stuff from a familiar spirit. Don't regard them. He said in Leviticus 26, the soul that turneth after such as have familiar spirits, which is the Mormon church, the Catholic church. Why do I say the Catholic church? Who do they pray to? Spirits other than Jesus Christ. If it's other than Jesus Christ, guess what it is? It's not the real spirit of God. It's a familiar spirit. He said the soul that turns after them. Then he uses the word whoring. It's a pretty big word. We don't like to go around just calling people whores, although some people deserve it. But that's just kind of, we kind of are careful with that. But God says you're a whore. Why? Here's Jesus, the bridegroom. Here's his people, the bride. The bride is engaged to be married to Jesus. In the course of time, while she's engaged to be married to Jesus, people go out after other gods and connect with them. Like, that's what the word yoga means connect with the gods. That is God's version of whoredoms. It's no different than if a man and a woman are engaged to be married, and in before the marriage, she decides to go out and chase down a few guys just to kind of get it out of her system, just to have her fun before the old ball and chain gets attached on there. Or she has one of these bachelorette parties where these men are dancing around naked everywhere. Or the guy at a bachelor party with some gal popping out of a cake with no clothes on. Yes, that happens. Happens a lot in this country probably. And so God says that's a whore. God says don't go whoring after them. Don't listen to the people that have familiar spirits. And if you turn, if your soul turns to such as have a familiar spirit, God said, I will set my face against that soul and will cut him off from among his people. The greatest thing in the world that I think is going to happen to people who live on this earth, it's mentioned in the book of Revelation toward the end, where we're in new heaven and new earth, we get to see the face of God. Because that's where his grace is. That's where his light shines from. When you turn after familiar spirits, God turns his face away from you. You're done. Leviticus, a man or a woman that hath a familiar spirit, they shall stone them with stones. Their blood shall be upon them. God says, kill them. I don't want them in there. So pretty strong language from God about these familiar spirits. Why? Because God says they're dangerous. They're there to lie and to deceive my people and to steal my sheep. And if I catch any one of my people going after this stuff, I'm going to take care of it because I'm not going to let it go on. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 18, we're going to mention this again. God is going to show us this religious practice that Manasseh revived, where it came from. He said it in 2 Chronicles 33. We see it again in Deuteronomy 18. He says, Deuteronomy 18 verse 9, when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you any one that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire. And Manasseh did that. One that useth divination. Yep, Manasseh. An observer of times. Manasseh. An enchanter. Manasseh. A witch. Manasseh. Or a charmer. And that is an enchanter. Or a consulter with familiar spirits. Or a wizard. Or a necromancer. Deuteronomy 18, we call them the nine forbidden practices. God said, don't do them. They are an abomination. The source of that came from the land of Canaan. Before the Israelites moved in, what was in the land of Canaan before the Israelites moved in? Giants. This was their religion. This was their practice. This was their church. This was how their temples were designed. They were designed to do witchcraft and to serve Ashtaroth and Baal. That's who they worshiped. They even named one of their towns. One of the towns of the Philistines was called Ashtaroth. And that's where the giants lived. So I think according to the scriptures, they were worshiping Ashtaroth, the Virgin Mary, in the Catholic Church. Same goddess. Shekinah in Jewish Kabbalah, same goddess. They were worshiping that goddess and they were doing these practices. And it just kind of makes sense. The first city that fell to the Israelites in the land of Canaan was Jericho. And it fell. What fell? The walls. Jeremiah chapter 51 tells us the walls of Babylon fall. Babylon is fallen. How many times did they march around Jericho? 13 times. Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the... And God said this is an abomination. Guess who birthed it? Mystery, Babylon. There are two religions in the world. Hers and his. Mystery, Babylon, which includes witchcraft, necromancy, sorcery, wizardry, familiar spirits, enchantments. All of these things that God said, the 13 things that Manasseh revived are the religion of Mystery Babylon. And every one of these books, every one of these, and I've got tons more, both in hard copy and electronic copy, every one of these represent the religion of Mystery Babylon. And I have known people, and have heard of people who spend their lifetime studying all these books, trying to discern the real path, the real secret. Manly Hall did. Just be easier to read the Word of God and believe every word of it, and you'll get all the education that you'll find the path, all right. You'll find that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. So anyway, this is where it came from. It came from Mystery Babylon birthed this religion. It was the religion of the giants. It was in the land of Canaan. God wanted them to destroy it. They didn't, so Manasseh revived it, and that is what led him to put that image in the house of God, a picture of it. Now, there's a couple things here that we're going to use the language of the Scriptures to discern about how it works when someone consults or deals with a familiar spirit. The first one is half a familiar spirit. In other words, it's part of them. This shows possession by a spirit, or at least an accompaniment by a familiar spirit guiding or aiding the one controlled by that spirit. Number two, a consulter with familiar spirits. This shows that the practitioner consults with spirits to gain counsel, insight, prophecies, instructions. Often the spirit masquerades as a known person. Joseph Smith, a consulter with... Do you know what Joseph Smith did for a living before he started getting the money from all these Mormon converts that he was making? You know what he did for a living? He was a consulter with familiar spirits. He was a... what did he do? He used these magical glasses to read the future. He could tell people the future by these magical glasses that he had. Later he called them the Urim and Thummim, which is what he got from the Old Testament. And that's how he transcribed and translated the Book of Mormon. He was still a consulter with familiar spirits. That's what he was his whole life. This is why this religion is cursed. Because all of these people are going after someone who consulted with a familiar spirit. And look at what they do. This practitioner consults with the spirits to gain counsel, insight, prophecies. They say there are all those prophecies in here from the Book of Mormon. Instructions. And the spirit often masquerades as a known person. That's part of the word familiar. Is that I think a familiar spirit. I think there is a devil that knows everything there is to know about Mike Hoggard. Knows all my computer passwords. Knows probably some of the stuff I've said. Some of the things I've done in my... Well, all the things I've done in my life. When someone goes to a necromancer, when someone goes to a fortune teller or a medium, they call them. I need to get in touch with Uncle Louie. Uncle Louie buried some money or hid some money somewhere, and it's in the house somewhere and we can't find it. We need to find out from Uncle Louie where the money is. So the medium, they're either going to put on a charade and pretend this, or there are some, I believe, who receive information from a spirit. A spirit that would only, who would know certain things about Uncle Louie that nobody else would know. That's the hook that they get into people. Oh, Uncle Louie, where are you? Ooh, Uncle Louie's saying that he used to have a pet name for you. Was it Toad? Yes, it was. Nobody else knew that. I'm talking to Uncle Louie. That's a familiar spirit. So that familiar spirit is going to know things about people. Even sometimes that familiar spirit will show up and present itself as Uncle Louie. That's how it works. That's what they do. That's in the Bible. And there is a much disputed passage about someone who consulted with a familiar spirit. And I'm going to show you from the Bible that it is not who some say it is. It's not. The Bible's going to tell you that word for word. It's not. I'll just say it. It wasn't Samuel. It wasn't. Some people believe that. Okay. But I'm going to show you from the Bible that it wasn't. So anyway, we understand now how these work. They either are possessed by this familiar spirit, they are accompanied by this familiar spirit, and this spirit guides them, it aids them, or at times it will control them. Think an alter ego. Okay? A lot of times in witchcraft, you will find the Wicca or the teachings of Wicca or witchcraft or wizardry that the which will often be accompanied by some sort of animal. Some even say that it could be a plant of some kind. But it would be some sort of animal, which is where the idea of a black cat comes from. Take a look at this graphic here, okay? Black cats. And I found out that cats, especially in Wicca and witchcraft, usually are the ones that they see being a animal spirit, a familiar spirit. The witches even call them familiars. There was a TV show called Sabrina the Teenage Witch. That actually came from a cartoon in the 70s, which was a spinoff of the show in the 60s called Bewitched. Sabrina was the sort of the younger version of Samantha, and she was this hippie chick witch and all this. She always wore this weird clothes and everything like that. Well, in the 70s, they made a cartoon out of her, and then, I think it was in the 90s, there was a kids' TV show about Sabrina the Teenage Witch, and she was always accompanied by her familiar, which was a black cat. And here's the interesting thing, is what I thought of. Just kind of doing the study for this and understanding witches and how they see their familiars and so on, a cat usually was preferred by them. Just take a guess why. You know what the Latin designation or the Latin name of the common house cat? It's called Felix Leo. Felix is like domicile. Leo's a lion. Cats are little bitty pet lions, is what they are. Does that ring a bell? Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion. Meow. Walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Okay? But that's why I think that cats are well chosen and well favored among Wiccans and witches and wizards and whoever else has a familiar. But they specifically call them familiars. Witches admit that they use familiar spirits in their witchcraft. And there's this whole teaching about how they do it. Here is what one source says. The Complete Idiot's Guide to Wicca and Witchcraft, page 189. A spirit animal represents the spirit of a particular species of animal, not of an individual animal, such as your dog who died when you were 11. Spirit animals possess all the knowledge and habits of their species. Many people have one particular spirit animal, a wolf, raven, otter, or bear, for instance. They feel that this spirit animal represents them, and they will ask the animal for help. Even if you're not in touch with your own spirit animal, you can ask one to help you. You can ask spirit animals to carry messages or magic to their destinations. And there you see the source. Now, some might say, come on. They made all that up because that's not who devils are. Really? I can show you in the Bible where the devil is, he's a serpent. He's a beast, a dragon. The Antichrist is, he's a beast. I can show you in the Bible where owls and satyrs and all these other different animals or beasts in the Bible are nothing more than beasts. They're nothing more than animals. And we're talking about spirits. Even the cherubs that were the chariot of the throne of God in Ezekiel chapter 1, well, they had the appearance of an ox, an eagle, and a man, and a lion. And you just see that all through the scriptures. So yes, they are beasts. And witchcraft is, these books are telling you that we get our power from and are accompanied by devils, evil spirits, beast spirits. That's who they call their familiars. Revelation chapter 17. Now watch this. There is always an association between witchcraft. If I were to say wizards and witchcraft, wizards and witches, what do you think of? Male, female? Wizards would be what men are called. Witches are what women are called, whether deservingly or not. That's a little joke. Anyway, so when we think of witchcraft, we're thinking primarily of the religion of women. Mystery Babylon, well, guess who she is? She's a woman. And it's interesting that in Wicca or witchcraft, you are accompanied by, led by, carried by a beast spirit. Revelation 17:3. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sit upon a scarlet colored beast, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. Verse 7, and the angel said unto me, wherefore didst thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast that carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and 10 horns. You see it? The beast and the woman, Mystery Babylon, accompany one another. He carries her. He takes her places. She sits upon him as if she is the one in charge. You know, when you ride a beast, the rider usually is controlling the beast. Okay? Familiar spirits in witchcraft, witches say, these are spirits that help us with our magic. We can dispatch a spirit, an animal spirit, to another person to deliver a message. We can dispatch an animal spirit, a beast spirit, a familiar, to carry a magic spell or a magic curse to a particular person or location or whatever it is. In other words, the familiar spirits are sort of the servant slash masters of Wiccans and witches. And that is precisely the picture that you see in Revelation 17 with the woman and the beast. It all makes sense, doesn't it? When you read the Word of God, it all connects. Here's another one. Complete Idiot's Guide to Wiccan Witchcraft. Like guardian angels, spirit guides are assigned to us at birth, and we can stop right here. When they are assigned to you at birth, that means they are familiar with you at your birth. They saw you say your first word, mess up your first diaper, take your first steps, say your first lie, probably led you into it, and all kinds of other things that really nobody else knows about you. There's a devil that does. Like guardian angels, spirit guides are assigned to us at birth. We can have as many as 7 of them. That, stop right here. I did not catch that. I did not catch that in putting this together. We can have as many as 7 of them. Deuteronomy chapter 7, God said, 7 nations stronger and mightier than thou, you're going to have to conquer, that are in that kingdom. You remember Mary Magdalene? You remember what she was delivered from? 7 devils. 7 familiar spirits. That's what she was delivered from. It just makes sense, doesn't it? We can have as many as 7 of them. Sometimes a spirit guide is a soul who doesn't need to incarnate again. Your spirit guide, don't believe that part of it. But hold on. Don't believe the reality of that, but believe the... It's going to sound weird. Believe the deception part of that. She is telling you that familiar spirits and familiar spirit guides can be the incarnation of someone who is alive. Samuel. But it wasn't Samuel. Okay? You go study it. You study it before I talk about it. I don't think I'm going to deal with it today. But you go study it, all right? Anyway, your spirit guides help you to learn your spiritual lesson. They also watch over you and often will quite literally guide you on your path through life. Think woman riding the beast. In addition, your spirit guides will sometimes set up learning situations to help you, here it is, evolve spiritually. You see the source there. Their whole religion is about the evolution of man to become what? A god. Joe Smith, the familiar spirit, Moroni, had Joseph Smith teach that when a man and a woman are married in the Mormon temple and they have the temple high priest and priestess touch all their private body parts and bless them, that they, when they become married, when they die, they'll become gods and have their own planet and make all of their own little spirit babies. The phrase in the Mormon church is, as man is, God once was, and as God is, man will be. In other words, man will evolve spiritually. Familiar spirit right here. Okay? Very, very revealing what they teach. Now, here are some of the things that familiar spirits sort of have a hand in, as it were. Tarot card readers. Okay? Familiar spirits would probably arrange the deck in a certain way. I believe that. Cardomancy, which is using cards of any kind. Do not let your children play these Yu-Gi-Oh! Or Pokemon, and there's other variations. Fast food restaurants in child meals will distribute these occult-based card games. Then they grow up to get to be teenagers. Now they're playing Dungeons and Dragons. They're playing all these other occult-based card games. That was big when I was a teenager and into college, and even in the Bible college I was going to, there was guys in there that were playing. They weren't playing D&D, but they were playing fantasy role-playing games that involved witchcraft, wizardry, sorcery, necromancy, magic powers, casting spells, and everything like that. And I tried to warn them, said, "Guys, this is the occult. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all, man. You're just a legalist." I've been called that for a long time. Cardomancy, necromancy, consulting the dead, fortune tellers, crystal ball. They look into a crystal ball. That's called scrying. We may talk about John Dee in the course of dealing with familiar spirits, because that's what he did. Ouija boards. Don't touch Ouija boards. If you've got one, burn it. Don't sell it in the yard sale. You burn that thing. Get rid of it. They are dangerous. Channeling. Now, that doesn't mean having the remote in your hand going through the TV set, what's on, okay? And men especially. Men don't want to know what's on TV. Men want to know what else is on TV, all right? But that's not talking about that. Channeling is these people go into a trance and they start getting these words from an ascended master or a spirit guide. That kind of stuff is going on in churches right now, people. When I say everything that I teach on, I can usually find its equivalent inside of a church or a religious movement, a Christian-based religion movement somewhere in this world, usually in the United States of America. And channeling is going on. They call it, "Oh, I'm prophesying. Oh, I'm getting a word from the Lord." Really? Why don't you just quote John 3:16? That'd be a good one. Okay? That's a word from the Lord. I don't know where this stuff comes from, but I think they're getting it from familiar spirits. Ouija boards, channeling, conjuring, bringing up a god or performing some sort of magic spell that actually works. Conjuring, yoga, meditation, going to talk about that. Contemplative prayer, walking a prayer labyrinth, grave sucking. The Anti-Bethel Church in Redding, California, grave sucking. And I'm not going to spend any time on these. I'm just listing the things that familiar spirits are part of. Perry Stone. Perry Stone videotaped a conversation with his father, where his father told of a vision that he got from a former friend who had died. And this former friend, dead, was showing him things in heaven that no one had ever seen before, including big library full of books of things that Jesus said that never showed up in your Bible. Marian apparitions. Somebody named Marian showing. No. The Virgin Mary showing up in Lourdes, France, or in the Pope just went to a place in Mexico. I think it was Guadalupe or somewhere around in there. But anyway, I'm probably not thinking of the right thing. But in that particular place, a farmer goes up on a mountain. This is years ago. He sees the Virgin Mary, Mary of Guadalupe. He sees her, she blesses him, wants him to go down and tell everybody to pray the rosary, and when he wakes up, he's got this tapestry on her with an image of the Virgin Mary on it. And they worship that thing to this day. That was a familiar spirit, people, and the Pope's going over there going all goo-goo over this thing. Some say he went into a trance when he was there. But anyway, psychics, dreamers of dreams, visions, Joseph Smith, the angel Moron Eye, the Ascended Masters, alien/UFO appearances, Go watch the video I made called UFO Chariots of the Beast. Angels. There are some angels that look like chariots. They have wheels. In fact, the Bible says that the Lord rideth on 20,000 chariots, even thousands of angels. Okay? You'll see it in there. Animal spirits or witches praying to saints in Roman Catholicism and having saints guide you or saints answer your prayers. Those are familiar spirits. Those are God's people. And God's jealous, and God said, okay, if that's how the Roman Catholic Church is going to be, I'll never step foot in it. You'll never find me in there because there's too much of the competition in there for me to be in there. God is a jealous God. And don't forget that. So that's just some of the areas that we may cover in the, and I honestly tried. The original name of this presentation was called Wizard, Witches, and Familiar Spirits. So I took out the wizard and witches part of this because we're going to spend some time dealing with familiar spirits because I think the world needs it. I think we need to be aware and be as watchmen to warn people. That's a familiar spirit. Don't go near it. God says if you turn your heart after that, you're going to go whoring after them. God says, I'm going to turn my face against you. I think it's time to start warning people because, folks, we're getting close to the top of the pyramid, aren't we? All right, so that's just some of the areas that they show up. Notice this. John chapter 10, verse 19. They accused Jesus of doing what he did by a familiar spirit. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings, and many of them said, he hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind? Pay very close attention to that. Because he specifically mentioned the words of a devil or familiar spirit. These words, and of course in Miracles, and Fat Albert Pike, and the book, and the New King James Bible, which just happens to have the pagan symbol for witchcraft right on the front of it. Where they took the word hell out 22 times and replaced it with Sheol. Where's Sheol? Okay? I guarantee you, you go to a biker club and ask them what they think hell is, you'll probably get a lot of descriptions. Some people will say, well, hell's that hot place down there. I'm probably going there. You start asking them where Sheol is. Are you drunk? They took it out. They took it out and put other words in its place. And let me tell you something. The real word of God will either open the eyes of the blind or keep them closed. So you see the connect right here in the scripture, you have the connection. Jesus is the word of God. And he's speaking by the Spirit of God, which also is, he said, the words are spirit and they are life. And they will open the eyes of the blind. This stuff here is meant to close people's eyes and keep them blinded. So we understand the nature now of devils and familiar spirits and what they're here to do. In Acts chapter 13, there's that 13, and I mentioned this earlier. Paul encountered a man who was called a false prophet, Joe Smith. He's called a false prophet, and let's read it. Acts 13:6. When they had gone through the isle unto Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus, son of Jesus, what that means, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him, and said, O full of all subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness, wilt thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? Watch, there's so much wisdom encapsulated in here. Because he mentions a false prophet, he's a Jew, and here is Sergius Paulus, who is a deputy of the area, and he's probably a high magistrate. And he calls for Paul and Barnabas because he wants to hear the word of God. Immediately, the familiar spirit led sorcerer, the false prophet, starts working against Paul and Barnabas with Sergius Paulus to draw him away, to turn away the deputy from the faith. That's the purpose of this. That's the purpose of Freemasonry. It's to turn you against the faith and away from the faith. How so? No man can serve two masters. You're either going to be a Freemason and serve the worshipful master of your lodge, which is Lucifer, or you're going to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, but you cannot serve them both at the same time. And a person decides he's either going to be a Freemason or he's going to be a Bible-believing Christian, but he cannot be both. He cannot be both. So the goal and the nature and the work of familiar spirits is to turn people away from the faith. Keep that in mind. So why do we have all these people in churches who say that they can prophesy things in the Lord and they can see visions of the future? And some of those things actually come about, not all of them, and God won't let all of them come to pass. You know why? Because God wants to show, according to His Word, that they're a liar. You see, a real prophet is never wrong one time when he says. When he says something's going to come to pass, it comes to pass. That's how I know my Bible's 100% right. Because if it ever gets one thing wrong, God says don't listen to it. And there are people in churches who make predictions, who tell fortunes, who say they're prophesying, oh, I'm going to show you something that God showed me and it's going to happen. It's going to happen this way. And it may happen similar to that way. And you know what that familiar spirit was doing? Leading people away to this man, away from this book. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And so even Paul called him thou child of the devil. So, if you have a familiar spirit, you're not saved. Very, very simple. You are not saved. Zechariah chapter 13, watch this. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also I will cause the prophets, here it is, and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. All these there's a lot of places in the Old Testament that is warning us about the prophets, the priests, the preachers. Ezekiel 13 is full of it. They're saying things that God said, but God said, wait a minute, I never said that. Where are you going to find that in the Bible? I never said it. All false doctrine comes from a familiar spirit. It's a doctrine of devils is what it is. All false doctrines about the Bible do not come from the Bible. They come from a familiar spirit. All false doctrines about who Jesus is come from familiar spirits, not the Bible. False doctrines about salvation or a different gospel, they do not come from the Bible. They come from familiar spirits. And they're designed to draw men away from the faith and pervert the right ways of the Lord. This not only bears the words of a familiar spirit, it bears the emblem of a familiar spirit. Strong words, I know. Got to be said. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. Here's another one. It came to pass as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination. Notice the divination came by way of what? A familiar spirit. Met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. Saying things, telling the fortune of people. And they do it for what? Money. Think about it. Not the only test. One of the tests of a false prophet, they will make merchandise of you, is the fact that they will usually charge money, large sums of money, for something that they say, a new revelation that God has given them. Now, it is not wrong. We, at Prophetic Research Ministry, Bethel Church, receive money from people who donate to our ministry for the purpose of benefiting this church, benefiting this ministry, and so on. We do not demand this money. We do not put a price on any of our videos. We do not charge people for it. We do not get up every time I speak and say, you can help us out. You can. Why don't you give? Why don't you donate for this? We would love to send you this DVD, this free DVD for your love gift of $20 or more. None of these guys ever say $20 or less. All right? Now, a ministry that receives money is not necessarily a false ministry. Somebody's got to pay for it. Okay? And so God has laid this on my heart years ago. This is what we do. Now, some say, now a suggested donation for this is this, because I've had people ask me, if you were to suggest what it would take to produce this video and get it out to me, please tell me that so I'll know. And I give them a figure, okay? But I've found that if you just don't tell people anything, God will lead them to give, and He'll take very good care of you. But anyway, here's my point. When they start selling this stuff, usually a high dollar amount, there's your first clue right there. This guy or this gal is making large financial gains by soothsaying, and it probably came from a familiar spirit. And I'll tell you this, familiar spirits, when they are latched onto somebody, there's always going to be a price to pay by that person to that familiar spirit somehow, some way. So they in turn are going to charge you. What God gives us here, He's never charged me a dime for it, never will. It's free. Freely I give. So just kind of keep that in mind. But anyway, she soothsays, she tells the fortunes of all these people and charges money for it. And she had many masters, okay? She was a young girl, probably 13, 14, 15 years old. That's what a damsel was, an unmarried girl. And she had this familiar spirit on him. She was possessed with a spirit of divination, and her masters used her, probably in more ways than one, to go out and soothsay to people for money, and they collected large portions of it. She's just like a prostitute who's got a pimp. She gets a little bit, he gets most of it. Okay? The same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation. And this did she many days. But Paul, being grieved, turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. It was the Spirit. She didn't have this gift. It wasn't in her DNA. She was not the product of some Pentagon DARPA experiment gone bad or good or whatever. She had a familiar spirit that allowed her to see into the future, limited into people's lives, and she made a lot of money doing it. And Paul, he didn't kill her, he rebuked the devil out of her. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1. Now the Spirit, notice this, capital S. This Spirit speaketh expressly. You get it? You say, I don't believe the Spirit and the Bible are the same thing. Well, you're reading this in your Bible, aren't you? The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to what? Seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their, and that hypocrite word is very, very important. Let me stop right here. Hypocrisy is church members who are not sealed and saved and born again. They've made a false confession. They look the part, act the part, speak the part, but they are full of lies and hypocrisy, and they're not going to heaven. Anyway, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry, Roman priesthood, commanding to abstain from meats, meatless Fridays, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. For every creature of God is good, and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. Now, there are some people, and I don't mean to step on the wrong toes, there are some people who choose the dietary laws of the Old Testament as a lifestyle for them, because they feel that it is healthier than eating bacon. I am all for that. So I'm not trying to paint everybody who does this with a big broad brush saying anybody that doesn't eat bacon is a false prophet. That being said, those who demand that you follow the dietary laws of the Old Testament in order to please God, they will usually have a 45-minute video on YouTube on how this really means you can't eat bacon. Okay? I've seen them. They'll spend 45 minutes with this one passage and then have and twist it and have you convinced that you're not supposed to eat bacon. Okay? That's what they do. There's your first clue right there. Because God said the way to spot them is that they will forbid you from eating certain foods. And God said, every creature of God is good if it be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. So, and I don't believe that God changed the dietary laws. I believe the forbiddance was to eat them because they were what? Unclean. If God cleans them, they're not unclean anymore. That's what he showed Peter in Acts chapter 10. He said, Peter, what I have cleaned, call not thou common or unclean. So, when we eat, we pray. And when we pray, we thank God for supplying us this food to eat. We ask God to sanctify it for His use and His glory and His kingdom's sake. And we eat ham and eggs and bacon and mussels and oysters and oyster stew and all of these things. Why? Because number one, they're good. Number two, they are sanctified and they're not to be forbidden as long as they are sanctified by the Word of God and by prayer. Your first clue is when they start, when they did this to me in Dallas, Texas. I was speaking down there and I mentioned that just before the meeting, I had just enough time to wolf down it was a Whataburger. Right on, man. Best grease in America is at Whataburger. And I had a bacon cheese, and I mentioned that. And these people climbed all over me after the meeting for daring to eat bacon. Don't you know that Christians are not supposed to do that? I said, that's not what the Bible says. Anyway, that's your first clue. You watch them, because that doctrine did not come from here. It came from familiar spirits. James chapter 3, verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Bitter envying and strife. Where does it come from? A familiar spirit. It is devilish. Is confusion and an evil work, is what James said. That I'm just showing you ways that you can spot. If you see somebody laying out cards and saying, oh, God's going to show you some great things by these cards, that's a familiar spirit. Some of that stuff's easy. Some of this stuff, and let me apply it this way. Fights in church over what color the carpet's going to be, or any kind of nonsense like that, or even doctrinal fights inside of a church. Okay? God says it's better to leave. Let them believe, if you don't agree with what they say, let them believe what they want to believe. You go somewhere else. Okay? Split up. That's the biblical example given to us. Jacob and Esau did it. Abraham and Lot did it. Who was it? Jacob and, I'm trying to remember the guy's name. Anyway, they put the Mizpah stone there. Remember that? God's going to watch between me and thee, Laban. Okay? And they departed. And they stayed away from one another. Paul and John Mark disputed hot and heavy. And finally, Barnabas said, guys, it's not right. So they split up. God used both of them, but they separated from one another. But here's what people want to do. They do it in churches, and they love to do this on social media and Facebook. And I just don't get on Facebook very much anymore because of it. Because my nature is to get lured into the fight. And I just want to start pinging people that come up with all kinds of nonsense and then want to put it on my wall. Okay? That just kind of burns me a little bit. You got your agenda, then you get all of your friends and try to convince them of it. Don't put it on mine, because I'll take it off, all right? But anyway, they love to get into bitter envying and strife on Facebook. They'll pick some sort of thing that they know everybody's guilty of, and they'll launch out on this attack on how you're not serving God and you're not even a Christian, you're probably not even saved, and you don't believe the Bible if you do this or you believe this or you say this. And they're just trying to pick a fight is what they're doing. And they'll watch it. These people will scan your posts looking to see if you've stepped across the imaginary line that they drew. And when you do, they're going to tear you up for it. They're going to go after you publicly. There's a spirit there. And it's not the Spirit of God. Okay? I'm telling you, if you're guilty of it, cut it out. You're not benefiting God and His kingdom. You're not serving Him. You're not standing for the truth and righteousness. You're not doing any of that. You're just trying to show off. You're trying to brag. You think you've got this exalted knowledge that everybody else is stupid of, and knowledge puffeth up every single time. I know it does. It does me sometimes. God's got to whack me down a little bit. And if you're guilty of it, repent. Cut it out. Get you a meek and a humble spirit. Share the word with people. Don't beat them over the head with it. Don't try to get into bitter envying and strife all the time. And you're glorying in yourself. You're not glorying in God. You're glorying in yourself. And I've seen it too much. I know you people. I know how you are. Normally, once I've had enough, I just kick you out, block you, because I'm just not going to put up with it anymore. Amen. Anyway, that's a familiar spirit. These are the things that familiar spirits do. Okay? Now, we're going to get into a little scary part here. As I was going through this, I did not intend to go this direction. But I just started looking into it. And the more I found, the more troubled I got. And by the time I got done with the majority of this on Monday afternoon, I just went, man, it's evil. It's absolute pure evil. I used to speak out a lot on rock and roll, especially back in the 80s and 90s. I used to use examples and things like that. And I've thought about at times kind of reviving that and, you know, making, you know, videos or Pastor Mike Online using, you know, musical examples and the lyrics and the things that people are doing on stage and things like that. The truth of it is there's a large, large difference between rock and roll of the 21st century and rock and roll of the 70s and 80s and 90s. It has gotten so foul and so vile and so evil and so satanic. It has gotten so descriptive and vulgar in the language and the lyrics. I can't. All I can tell you is, stay away from this stuff. It's nasty. It is right out of hell. Rock and roll is still the devil's music. And the fact, if I played clips of songs like I used to, YouTube would pass out and go into a coma, and they'd have to come after me on it and have to take it down anyway. So anyway, but I'm going to show you something that, and some of you helped me put together, and I appreciate it. In fact, 5 minutes before I started this, I just glanced at an email, and a guy had sent it to him, and he mentioned Mick Jagger. And I went, thank you for doing that. And 5 minutes from now, I'm gonna put it in here, okay? So here's the direction I'm going with this. And we're gonna close it out with this. Get ready. In fact, the devil is just, I've been buffeted all morning. Probably because of this. And probably will continue. And usually my biggest beatings come after I obey the Lord and not before. So anyway, spirits give counsel. Familiar spirits lead. They accompany people. Sometimes they will possess them. Sometimes they will just be there to aid them. When someone's on a Ouija board, I literally believe that their hand is being moved by a spirit. No doubt in my mind, not in all cases, but in many cases. That's why I say stay away from them. Yeah, I do not ever want to shake hands with a devil. And I'll show you some more examples of this in a minute as it pertains to pop music, rock music, and this would even get into country music and movie stars. These people are being inspired by familiar spirits to write the riffs. What I mean by that is the chord progressions, the style of music. Music has basic parts to it. There is melody, which is, you know, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord. That is the melody of the song. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. That's the melody. Harmony, okay, is amazing grace. And then the voices that surround it, singing different parts. And that all sounds good. Melody, harmony, rhythm. Listen, I don't get all messed up in my head and saying, that's the devil, if a song has rhythm to it. Every music has to have rhythm to it. And the timbrel in the Bible is a rhythm instrument. Okay? There's nothing wrong with that. Okay? But then it gets into a part of music called tone color. And you can recognize it. I can't describe it, but some music is bright and some is dark. Marilyn Manson never sings, "Oh, happy day." Okay? He never sings that. He sings dark, dark music. And when you hear it, you know it. Okay? So, these artists are being led by familiar spirits as they're both writing the music and the lyrics. Commercials, commercial media, print ads, marketing techniques designed to get in and manipulate the brain of mankind in order to lead them to a decision to buy their products. Familiar spirits. Popular movies, I think, are being led by and written by, directed by, produced by Beelzebub. TV shows, same thing. Literature, books that are being written, 50 Shades of Grey. Never read it, never will. But I've heard it's like Hustler magazine in story form. Okay? Want nothing to do with it. Written by familiar spirits. Novels. I don't have it up here. The Da Vinci Code. The Lost Symbol, Dan Brown books, Goosebump books, what else? Harry Potter. What's her name? J.K. Rowling, a familiar spirit, helped her. The Harry Potter books are this thick. Who can write a book like that? J.K. Rowling did, and she did it with a familiar spirit. Okay? Graphic novels, comic books. We did the Comic-Con series here a while back. Contemporary Christian music. Popular, quote, Christian books and authors. Christian, quote, unquote, broadcasting. Modern Bibles. All of these under the category of 1 Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived, for evil communications corrupt good manners. Remember what the false prophet in Acts chapter 13 was there to do. He was there to pervert the right ways of the Lord. And all of that is designed as evil communications to pervert the Word of God, the faith of God, the salvation of God, the Word of God, and the Spirit of God. It is a replacement religion, and I'll show you the scripture that says that here in a little bit. So when it comes to rock and roll, I'm going to show you some examples. And some of you, again, you've helped bring this stuff to memory. Some of this stuff I've learned in time past and just kind of forgotten it, and you reminded me of things because you heard me talk about it and you said, did you know this and this and this? Thank you for that. Okay? God's given you a watchman ministry. You've got a little bit of discernment in you. And so you see these things too. I'm just the mouth of what some of you people already know. But the rest of you, if you don't know these things, get ready. Okay? You pray. God's people are praying for me right now as I record this because I told them I get beat up today because of this. Probably, it wouldn't surprise me a bit after I'm done recording this, I pull the little SD card out of the camera and have nothing on it. Wouldn't surprise me a bit. Okay? So let's look at this. Here's the first one. This is what a lot of people came up and mentioned to me. A singer called Beyonce. She was featured at the halftime show of Super Bowl 50. So what have you got? Probably 500 million people in the world watching this either live or on YouTube. are watching her performance at the halftime show. Beyonce admits, and I'm going to read you the quote, that when she gets on stage, something else takes over. She even has a name for it. And there she, I mean, look at the picture. The name she uses is Sasha Fierce. That's her alter ego. That's her familiar spirit. She says, I felt something else come into me. Look at the hand gesture that she's making. And she's doing this while she's on set. Look at her face. Look at the gesture that she's making is the capstone. Okay? She's got a familiar spirit in her. Let's look at what she said. This is her witness, her testimony. Sasha is my alter ego. I feel like Sasha is a big treat for my fans. It's definitely exciting. Sasha's my alter ego. And I remember right before I performed, I raised my hands up, and it was kind of the first time I felt something else come into me. I guess I wouldn't be very entertaining on the stage, so Sasha comes out, and she's fearless. You know, she can do things that I cannot do when I'm in rehearsal. I mean, I can try, but then it just doesn't happen. I can sing notes and sing strong and do all these that when I'm just by myself, I can't do. I felt something else come into me, and I knew that was going to be coming out that night. Sasha was in full effect. Did you see that? She admits, first time she gets on stage, raises her hands up. You ever seen these rock and roll artists like Justin Bieber? They all show them backstage. Let's all get hands together and let's pray. Are you kidding me? Justin Bieber's a dope head, fornicator, adulterer, drunkard. Been that way since who knows how early. Who knows, as a growing adolescent boy, singing this music to all these teenage girls, who knows the first time he started getting in bed with them? Sitting there praying before his concerts. Good grief. He's got devils all over him, and she's admitting. She raised her hands up. She felt something come into her, and she said, there are notes that I sing on stage I can't do in rehearsal and performance, or rehearsal. There are things that I sing and do that I just cannot do outside of the stage by myself. Sasha is a familiar spirit. Remember, they're there. They either totally possess or they accompany someone, guiding them and doing things in them and through them that normally they would not be able to do. And in case you have a problem with that, remember when Jesus cast Legion out of the man, that man had the ability because of those devils. When they would bind him in chains and fetters, he would break them. That can't be done by a human. These people sing notes and phrases that cannot be done by most people on this earth. And it's kind of funny to watch people get on American Idol and try it. Oh my good grief. But anyway, they'll be able to play things on a guitar that nobody else can do. Here's another one. Nicki Minaj. Her familiar, she named Roman Zelansky. Now, I think that's probably a play on the film director, Roman Polanski, who was, number one, a very famous pedophile. Number two, he's the one who directed and produced the movie Rosemary's Baby. Remember what that was? About the child of the devil? That was him. She named her familiar spirit Roman Zelansky. Here's what it says. Roman Zelansky is one of Nicki Minaj's alter egos. He is Minaj's most well-known and utilized alter ego, as well as her self-professed favorite. Zelansky is described as an orange-haired homosexual male from London, England, characterized as being far more outspoken and perhaps malicious than Minaj herself. His first appearance in a song was in Bottoms Up, a song by Trey Songz. Roman was declared dead by Minaj herself on February 14, 2014, but 5 months later, Nicki held a Q&A on Twitter and said that she will rap as Roman again when a fan asked her. And look at her. Look at her on stage. Okay? She's got devil written all over her. She gets on stage and she performs with this familiar spirit. Here's another one. Doesn't take long to figure this one out, does it? Billy Ray Cyrus said, "My family is under attack by Satan, and I'm scared for daughter Miley." Miley Cyrus, look at her. And I won't even get into the things that are making her famous right now, things that are getting her all the notoriety. She's a whore possessed by devils, accompanied by familiar spirits. Destroying. I mean, my goodness. She made the news. First of all, she's this cute little child actor on the Disney Channel or Nickelodeon or whatever it is. And now she's on the stage on a rock concert with some other guy doing all kinds of grotesque perversions in front of children on children's television. That's familiar spirits. And they're rocking this world, all right? You can count on it. Here's another one, Eminem. His alter ego is a familiar spirit that he calls Slim Shady. Eminem said, "I sold my soul to the devil. I'm going to hell. I'm headed to hell. I want the money, the women, the fortune, and the fame. That means I'll end up burning in hell, scorching in flames. Satan will be in to see me later to see if I'm interested in being partners." Eminem, familiar spirit. Here's Tupac. "Am I cold, or is it just because I sold my soul?" Now, some of these are showing up in their lyrics, but I think they're real. I think these are the declarations of these people who have sold their soul, who have invited the presence of a familiar spirit to embody them, to take control of them, especially while they're doing their performance. Rappers are noted, the good ones. Sometimes they will get into something called the flow. And I mentioned that on Pastor Mike Online yesterday, and I just learned about it yesterday. Not really enough time to develop it for this broadcast. But they were describing how rappers will get into a mindset where you just put them on stage, put a microphone in their hand, and all of a sudden they are ad-libbing these raps and these rap songs that people are, and nobody knows where they get them from. And they don't know where they get them from. They're just coming out, and they're just almost without fail, just boom, 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 there they are. That is the familiar spirit that they are under. Here's another one. Katy Perry. Katy Perry grew up in a Christian home. Her mom and dad were charismatic evangelists, word faith evangelists, all right? So she at least had part of it. And she describes on this interview she did that she's growing up as a little girl in church, and she knows she can sing, so she's wanting to be like Amy Grant. She's wanting to be this contemporary Christian music artist as big as Amy Grant. At some point, she just takes off, gains the blessing or whatever, the accompaniment of a familiar spirit. She sings this song called "You're a Firework," and it's all about the divine spark of divinity turning into a full flame. You're a god now. Where does she get this from? Where does this idea come from? Comes from familiar spirits. They're the ones that are writing these songs. They're the ones enabling the performers to be able to hit the notes, sing the lyrics, and do the things that they do in performance. Here's what Katy Perry said. "I wanted to be like Amy Grant, but it didn't work out, so I sold my soul to the devil." Here's another one. Snoop Dogg. And see, some of this stuff you're just going, duh. Makes sense, okay? Snoop Dogg, here's what he said. "A voice spoke to me, and it slowly started saying, 'Bring your lifestyle to me. I'll make it better. I'll make your life better than you can imagine or even dream of. So relax your soul. Let me take control. Close your eyes, my son. My eyes are closed.'" He's got a familiar spirit. He's got a familiar spirit that made him famous, that made him rich. He's got all these women hanging on him all the time. He's always down. I watch Cops a lot. He's always down in New Orleans for Mardi Gras. Duh. Okay, he's got a ticket in to just about anywhere he wants to go, and he can do whatever he feels like doing. But he's going to have to pay the piper one of these days. He has sold his soul, and one of these days, it's going to come out after. It already has with some of them. Elvis Presley, Amy Winehouse, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, Bon Scott, and the list goes on of the rock performers, the movie stars who sold their soul for fame. and they got collected on at an early age. Okay? Familiar spirits. So, their performance, their lyrics, their even their music styles, and the color of their music, tone color, I mean, of their music, designed by spirits to reach the masses and control people to destroy the faith of Jesus Christ. Remember what John Lennon said. I got one from him too. Remember what John Lennon said. We're out to destroy Christianity. We are more popular than Jesus Christ. It's time to pay the piper, John. Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan did, at one time, Bob Dylan claimed to be saved. Convinced a lot of people. I remember being in Bible college in the 80s and reading Christianity Today magazine. And they did, and this is back in the 80s, and Bob Dylan had released a new album that was supposed to be a Christian album. And this, they did a review of it in there, and the article went about basically trying to explain all the lyrics in the Bob Dylan songs on this quote-unquote Christian album. Because when you just read the lyrics, you're going, I don't see Christ in here anywhere. I don't see the testimony of Jesus Christ. And Christianity Today magazine had to say, well, he said this. What this really means is blah, 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 blah. And you're just going, I don't see that there. Here's what Bob Dylan said. Bob Dylan did an interview with Ed Bradley of 60 Minutes. Here's what he said. Bradley said, why do you do it? Why are you still out here? Dylan says, it goes back to that destiny thing. I made a bargain with it a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end. Bradley said, what was your bargain? Dylan said, to get where I am now. Bradley said, should I ask who you made the bargain with? Dylan said, with the chief commander. Bradley said, on this earth, Dylan, in this earth and the world we can't see. Okay? And if you've ever, Bob Dylan can't sing. Okay? And I don't know, maybe I just got high standards, but the answer, my friend, is blowing in the wind. I'm just going, that's terrible. But he's rich. He's famous. He had people believing he was a Christian, including Keith Green. Keith Green believed it. He had Bob Dylan play harmonica on one of Keith's probably most precious songs, I Pledge My Head to Heaven. And there's a little lick in there by Bob Dylan playing a harmonica on there. He deceived a lot of people into thinking he was a Christian. He sold his soul to the devil, and he still admits it, that he's got to keep up his end of the bargain. And for that, the devil has made him an enduring icon of rock and roll music, and he's still getting a ton of money and still playing concerts, like Paul McCartney. Here's another one. Selena Gomez. I'm selling my soul to Hollywood Records. I love you like a song, baby. The song was a dedication to Lucifer, and the song Backmass says he ate my soul. I'm torn. I got this from the website. I'm torn. I'm selling my soul to the rhythm because I've become possessed with the music he plays. I chose a path, and I'm not looking back. An admittance in a song lyric that she has a familiar spirit. And here again, here's a young girl, gets famous, having her TV show on the Disney Channel or wherever it is for children. And she's turned into this whore of rock and roll music and a whore of Hollywood. She's got a familiar spirit affecting all of these young people's lives, destroying the faith. How many girls do you think sit in church every Sunday, which never get preached to, or maybe even do get preached to, about stuff like this? They sit in church on Sunday and they listen to Selena Gomez, or worse, they listen to Katy Perry sing I Kissed a Girl and I Liked It. No wonder gospel is dying in this country. Familiar spirits are destroying that. Here is Angus Young. It's like I'm on automatic pilot. By the time we're halfway through the first number, someone else is steering me. I'm just along for the ride. I become possessed when I get on stage. That's from AC/DC, Angus Young. You believe it? You believe it? You should. You should. These people have a familiar spirit. They write the songs. They play the notes. They do the antics on stage. And people fall for it. John Lennon, it's like being possessed, like a psychic or a medium. I felt like a hollow temple filled with many spirits, each one passing through me, each inhabiting me for a little time and then leaving to be replaced by another. John Lennon. Here's what the guy reminded me of. Mick Jagger sings a song written by a familiar spirit, if not Satan himself. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and fame. Been around for long, long years, sold many a man's soul to fate. I was around when Jesus Christ had his moments of doubt and pain, made sure that Pilate washed his hands and sealed his fate. Pleased to meet you. Hope you guessed my name. Sympathy for the devil. Who wrote that? The devil. Their album, Goathead Soup. I mean, come on. These guys were into... They were... Here's the Beatles. Beatles come over from England with their kind of short hair, even though people called it long back then, wearing their little suits with this clean-cut, boyish looks on their faces, playing the Ed Sullivan Show. And then here come the Rolling Stones right behind them, already singing about perversions and Satanism and drugs and can't get no satisfaction and all this stuff. It moved in very quickly. Who do you think wrote these songs? Who do you think plays these licks? Who do you think brought this music that just turned America on? Those familiar spirits, people. Here's another one. Johnny Depp. Sometimes I feel like I'm possessed with a multitude of demons. Here's another one. Little Richard. I was directed and commanded by another power, the power of darkness, that a lot of people don't believe exists, the power of the devil, Satan. He says he was possessed, writing his songs, doing the things he did on a piano, on stage, like Jerry Lee Lewis. It's unrealistic that these guys did what they did. They were possessed with a familiar spirit, and they admit to it. Michael Jackson. He calls his the man in the mirror. I feel that somewhere, someplace, it's been done, and I'm just a courier bringing it into the world. When I hit the stage, it's all of a sudden a magic from somewhere that comes, and the spirit just hits you, and you just lose control of yourself. Not only being a talented and gifted singer, but his ability to do the things that he did on stage in live performances was what really, I mean, you know, he's part of the Jackson 5 of the 70s. A, B, C, easier. You know, he's, you know, doing all that, you know, that Motown music that was getting popular back then. He's singing with all of his brothers. And then in the 80s, he hits it. He's doing things on stage with his body that people are just going, and nobody can figure out the moves that he's making and the things, and he is admitting when he gets on stage, something just takes over. Familiar spirit. Jimmy Page. Familiar spirit. Robert Plant. Stairway to Heaven. Familiar spirit. Listen to this. Pagey had written, he's talking about Jimmy Page, had written the chords to Stairway to Heaven and played them for me. I was holding the paper and pencil, and for some reason, I was in a very bad mood. Then all of a sudden, my hand was writing out words. I just sat there and looked at the words, and then I almost leaped out of my seat. He's describing how he penned the lyrics to Stairway to Heaven about a lady who is the May Queen, and she's buying your Stairway to Heaven. By the way, Robert Plant, there's a picture of him here. He's standing in front of the house called the Bullskine House. It's at Loch Ness. And it was a house bought by Aleister Crowley. Crowley went in there and he did some redesigning of it because he wanted to do rituals in there that would put him in contact with familiar spirits, one of which was called Lamb. We might deal with that as part of this series. Because Lamb, Crowley drew a picture of him. He's a gray alien. Okay? Robert Plant bought his house with the hopes and intentions that he would get in there and receive of that spirit that Crowley had and be able to write. He bought it so he could write songs in it. He didn't, according to what I read, he didn't live in it very long, didn't spend a lot of time in there. But Plant knew. Robert Plant knew. Robert Page knew. These guys knew where their songs came from. The lyrics, the chords came from familiar spirits. Stevie Nicks. It's amazing, she said, because sometimes when we're on stage, I feel like somebody's just moving the pieces. I'm just going, God, we don't have any control over this. And that's magic. Here's another one. I'm almost done. And there's a ton more out there. I just kind of thought, I got to cut this off somewhere. Winona Ryder. There's this one particular relative who was my age when she died. I have had this feeling she was there guiding me and helping me with my performances. She was in Beetlejuice. She played this sort of gothic dark girl who loved dead things and dead people. And by the way, she's the one that could see the two dead people that were living in that house that were trapped. That's what Beetlejuice was all about. You see the connection here? Here she is claiming that she has a relative that was her age and she died and she felt that her spirit was there guiding her and helping her with her performances. That's what a familiar spirit is. This wasn't her dead relative. That dead relative is in hell, maybe, I don't know. But in one place or the other, they don't come back from there and roam the earth and do all this stuff. It's a masquerading familiar spirit. And she said, my performances are based upon this spirit. Last one. Jim Morrison was evil. Remember when we did the series called Chemical Witchcraft, Chemical Sorcery? And it was about LSD, marijuana, ayahuasca, all of these mind-altering psychedelic drugs that people are taking. Scientists are taking them now. Tech company executives are taking them so they can open their minds so they can make these new inventions, all right? Steve Jobs did it the old-fashioned way. He just meditated and got in contact with familiar spirits. That would be probably another part of this. How much of the technology world is being designed right now by familiar spirits? Most of it. I would say most of it, all right? But anyway, Jim Morrison named his group, The Doors, after what Aldous Huxley claimed. Huxley claimed that there is a part of our brain or the ability of mankind to learn things that are shut behind a door in our mind. If we take psychedelic drugs or we do this meditation or whatever it is, that opens the doorway so that we can see and think things that before would never be thought or seen. Francis Crick, an example of that, taking a small amount of LSD every day while he's working on the formula and the design of DNA. Won a Nobel Prize for it. He laid the foundation of what every genetic scientist is doing right now in understanding the genetics and DNA and how it works. He opened the door. That's where Jim Morrison named his group, The Doors. They're open. Here's what Jim Morrison said. And that year there was an intense visitation of energy. I left school, went down to the beach to live. I slept on a roof. At night, the moon became a woman's face. I met the spirit of music. An appearance of the devil on a Venice canal. Running, I saw Satan or Satyr moving beside me, a fleshly shadow of my secret mind. Oh, there's a lot to remember. He said, I met either Satan, whom he called the spirit of music. Remember how Satan is built? Ezekiel chapter 28? The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou was created. He really is the spirit of music. He said it was either Satan or a satyr. A satyr, the most famous satyr in the world is Pan. You know what Pan does? He plays pipes, and he lures people with his music to follow him. Familiar spirits. They write songs. They write melodies. They write harmonies. They create the music that people are listening to right now. Whether it's country, pop, rock, all of the various breeds, hip-hop, rap, everything. They're writing these songs and they're influencing teenagers. We have a couple in our church from Ferguson, Missouri. Right after the Michael Brown shooting, this man very bravely stood up. And he said, I live in Ferguson, grew up in Ferguson. He said, those are my people. But he said, let me tell you why this happened. Michael Brown is just like most other people that I grew up with. They're influenced, number one, by the culture around them telling them, hate white people, hate the cops. Then they're being programmed and taught by the hip-hop music and the rap artists that they're listening to. He said, this is why that happened. I'm just going. He said it during our live church service. I commended him for being brave and bold enough. You want to call me a racist? Call me a racist. Go ahead. Deny the fact that it doesn't matter if it's black culture, white culture. I mean, my goodness, white culture brought forth Boy George. Oh my goodness, what were we thinking? Doesn't matter what country, what culture, what color of your skin is. Everybody is susceptible to the leading and the alluring of familiar spirits done through movies, shows, commercials, marketing, books, all of the music, all of the evil communications that are being fed nonstop. Back in the old days, back in the 80s, when I was a young boy, people used to walk around with their big radio players on their shoulders, carrying their music around. And now we just stick our wireless Bluetooth headphones into our ears and you see people walking around everywhere listening to nonstop music. What are they doing? They're just channeling the familiar spirits is what they're doing, because they're the ones that wrote the lyrics. I got to end this with scripture. Familiar spirits will always be a replacement religion. And I'm going to show you this. 1 Samuel 28 verse 6. This is this part of the story of the familiar spirit at Endor and Saul, and a spirit posing as Samuel. Notice what the scripture says. And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets. And then said Saul unto his servants, seek me a woman that hath a familiar spirit, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a woman that hath a familiar spirit at Endor. You see what happened? Saul had been rejected by God. And Saul kept inquiring of the Lord. And he wasn't getting dreams. He wasn't getting Urim and Thummim. And he wasn't getting prophets. Can you see what it says here? It says specifically that God refused to talk to him by the prophets. That showed up was not Samuel the prophet, because God did not send him back from the dead, because God stopped talking to Saul by the prophets. That's why I believe what I believe. But the idea here is he had already rejected the word of the Lord. That's what Samuel told him while Samuel was still alive, that he had already rejected the word of the Lord. What replaced it? Another testament of Jesus Christ. You see this? See this right here? You know what this is? Samuel the prophet. It's a masquerading word that, according to him, comes from Jesus Christ. But it doesn't. It came from a familiar spirit. Now you get that? You understand it now? This is Samuel the prophet that the witch at Endor brought up. This, Samuel the prophet. This, Samuel the prophet that showed up when Saul went to inquire from a woman who had a familiar spirit. That was not really Samuel the prophet. It was something posing as Samuel the prophet, a familiar spirit. I hope you see now why I decided to spend so much time with this, because it needs to be dealt with. I get it. I understand it. We are flooded all around us with the replacement for the Word of God, and that replacement came right from devils, familiar spirits. That's what they do, and that's what they're doing right now. People are falling for it everywhere. I was going to. God got His hand on me and stopped me and changed my life and changed my mind and my heart. If it's not here, I don't believe it. Okay? But if it is here, I better believe it. It's my life. It's my eternal life. Okay? Hope you've enjoyed this. I know some of this, I don't like talking about this real evil stuff, especially when it comes to rock music and these guys are evil. They are evil. Most Hollywood film directors and actors are too. We just only see the little goody two-shoe stuff they put on the movies and TV shows. Anyway, I gotta go. I love you. I'm gonna say some things throughout the course of this that may make some people mad. I love you. But I'm telling you, this is a revival of the evil that was before the flood, and it was in the land of Canaan, and it's what's setting up right now the appearance of the Antichrist in the last days. Okay? Pray for me. Pray for us here. We'll pray for you. You're the reason why we do this. All right? God bless you. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.